Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. This hockey season, you can view over 70 vehicles in their warm showroom. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport.
Derek Wills joins us from Toronto. It's Pat Steinberg and Peter Klein at Opa of Greece here at Airdrie Crossing. It is time for our Daily Flames Roundtable, and we'll kick it off with a very juicy subject. Gents, a two-game suspension for Edmonton's Zach Cassian. We'll have him back for the rematch of the Battle of Alberta on January 29th. What do we think of a two-game suspension for Cassian?
Well, first of all, Pat, as usual, you're wrong. I'm in Hamilton.
Oh, you're in Hamilton right now.
Yes.
Wow. He got you.
Back to the old stomping grounds.
What are you doing in the Hammer?
I went to Lulu's Shawarma for lunch. It is the greatest shawarma in the world. If there's someone in Calgary or Cochrane who can make a shawarma... Uh-oh.
What's up? Did we lose Derek?
I'm back.
Where'd you go there? Yeah.
I don't know. Apparently, there's not very good cell reception here in Hamilton, but there is good shawarma. So if anybody in Calgary or Cochrane can give me a shawarma place, like a world-class shawarma place, I'd be super grateful for that. But went over to First Ontario Center, and a place I spent 13 years. So walking back in there for the first time in about 5 years brought back a lot of memories, so that was pretty cool. But no, as far as the Zach Cassian suspension is concerned, I thought it would probably be two games, and this is what you guys wanted, right? Serve two games.
Yeah, two games is perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Come back for round three of the Battle of Alberta, and then four after that with the home-and-home coming up. But you know what? It was just good old-time hockey, wachnt it? In the sense that Matthew Tkachuk decided to target the toughest guy on the other team, and he walloped him at least twice, if not thrice, and Cassian wasn't happy about it, so we went after Tkachuk. And you know what? I'm here for more of that come the 29th or 30th.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Sign me up for, the 29th. I mean, if they want to do it on the 30th, I guess they can as well. But the 29th, yeah. The NHL would probably found upon it otherwise. But no, I have no problem with it. It. Like I said, Lucic was given a two-game suspension for punching a guy in the face who should have known he was going to get punched in the face but didn't know he was going to get punched in the face. And Cassian kind of did the same thing. So, obviously... There are subtle differences between the two situations. But, yeah, two games is fine. He gets to come back for the Battle of Alberta. It's more storylines. It's more intrigue into the game. It makes perfect sense for me.
Yeah, and I get it. I get why they went down the road of a suspension. They felt like, look, you can't be that aggressive in a situation like that.
Can't be throwing people, Pat.
You can't. It's a scenario where, I mean, yeah, did he maybe have reason to be upset? Sure. You have to handle being upset a little bit better. There have been lots of people who have been caught with hard body checks before that haven't gone snap show and jumped the guy and gone down the road that Cassian did. So he needed to show better situational awareness. He says he wouldn't change a thing. I don't know if you heard his comments today. We played them about 20 minutes ago, Derek, but essentially said, wouldn't change a thing. I'm looking forward to the rematch. I know the ways I can and cannot go about things now. Like he wasn't backing down today after getting the news about the suspension, but he did not show very good situational awareness in a tie hockey game, and it contributed to his group losing the game when it was all said and done. I get the suspension. I think it was probably needed, and I think two games probably sends the right type of message from the NHL.
You know what? It's interesting that he said he wouldn't change a thing. Because wasn't he sitting in the penalty box serving that double minor when Elias Lindholm scored the game-winning goal on Saturday night?
He was, yep.
Wouldn't you want to change that, potentially? I mean, come on. Zach Cassian has thrown plenty of those hits in his career. And I understand that he didn't like getting hit by Matthew Tkachuk like that. I get it. Who would like getting hit the way he got hit by Tkachuk two or three times on Saturday night? But, you know, he's played that role for a long, long time in this league. So I really have a hard time feeling sorry for Zach Cassian. And the bottom line is, if you're the Flames, would you accept the trade-off of Matthew Tkachuk for Zach Cassian with both of them sitting in the penalty box? Because in my opinion, that's a terrible trade for the Flames.
Yeah, that's not what the Flames would want at all. And it's what we've been talking about for a couple days. It's Matthew Tkachuk knew what he was doing, knew who he was doing it to, and played it perfectly.
And gave his team a power play.
Yeah.
And
they won the game on that power play.
And... You go take a look at the replay. Tkachuk Kachuk knows exactly what's going to happen. Once it happens, he sees that he's finally gotten the rise out of Cassian that he wanted, and say, okay, here we go. I'm going to hurt for a few seconds here. This is not going to be pleasant, but I'm not going to fight back. I'm going to make sure that this ends up. Look, and I'm not saying that it paints him in the best light around the rest of the league. There have been plenty of current and former NHLers who have come out and said that what he did was not a good look, and that's fair. But the fact is, I firmly believe that Matthew Tkachuk will do anything to see if he can get an edge and thus give his team an edge, and that's exactly what we saw last night. The fact that he's willing to go to those extremes and go to levels that really... Guys, how many other human beings in this league are able to do what Tkachuk did? I can think of two others off the top of my head. One of them flubbed a shootout last night in Boston, and the other doesn't play in the league anymore because his body's broken down in Ryan Kessler. I can't think of another guy in recent memory other than those two that would go to such extremes to rattle the other team, to get under the skin of the other team, and still be an elite hockey player on top of everything.
You know what? The other thing Matthew Tkachuk will do is whatever it takes to win. And I really think he put the team before himself on Saturday night.
For sure. And I think that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, in the sense that, you know what? Do you want to deal with Zach Cassian? Do you want to deal with that guy grabbing you by the jersey and ragdolling you around the ice and punching you in the back of the head? I wouldn't want to deal with that. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. But Matthew Tkachuk was willing to do what it took to win that hockey game. And I think Zach Cassian, quite frankly, was selfish. I think he should have done what Dave Tippett suggested after the game, and that's to take a number and live to play another day. It was a 3-3 hockey game, and he cost them the hockey game. So we'll see where it goes from here. The comments from Cassian today didn't exactly pour water onto the fire. They poured fuel onto the fire, saying things like, does he not realize we play in the same division and whatnot? So, I mean, if he crosses the line and does something stupid when the two teams meet for a third time this season, you don't think that's going to play into what the NHL decides to do with Zach Cassian? I don't think those were very intelligent comments today.
Yeah. Do your talking
on the ice. That's the other thing I would say.
James Neal had some interesting comments yesterday. Leon Draisaitl had some interesting comments yesterday. For the most part, sounds like
that was
Oilers
funny,
teammates. They were yeah. both. Like, we played them a little while ago. I was like, whoa, those are quotables again, and for the most part, everybody that I've heard has come out and said, yeah, we're happy with what Cassian did in that Oilers locker room, so we'll see
what
how it all plays out on January 29th. Yeah, I know.
Right?
Although,
what else are they going to say?
I can also understand, even if you lose the game, if you can get a little bit of pound of flesh, it might be, I can understand how they might be okay with it. I want to see how it carries over into January 29th and what type of carryover there is. The last time we had a big-time Battle of Alberta that boiled over a little bit, the next game wasn't very good. So let's see if this carries over into the next two games these two teams play against one another. He is Derek Wills. He's Peter Klein. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. 2-0 loss for the Flames in Montreal last night. We telegraphed it. We were all talking about an emotional letdown, and that's exactly what we saw for more than two-thirds of that hockey game against the Habs. How disappointing an effort was that from Calgary yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it was disappointing, but was it really surprising? We all talked about it. They talked about it as a team. We knew it was going to happen in some way, shape, or form. I was just hoping that the Flames would be able to overcome a lack of emotion and find a way to win that game against the Canadiens last night. And thanks to David Riddick, they hung around and had a chance to do that. And I do think they got better as the game went on, but that was a really tough first period to watch. I mean, it was completely dominated by the Habs. And if not for Riddick, who was stellar in his return to the net, making his first start in four games, it might be 5-0 through 20 minutes. But he kept him in it. The Flames got a little bit better in the second, especially in the back half. Again, a little bit better in the third, but too little too late. And you need more emotional investment. And I give the Canadians a lot of credit. You know, there are a lot of people out there wondering if Claude Julien's going to lose his job. What I see when I watch that team play isn't a team that has quit on its coach. I think he squeezes every last drop out of the talent he has there. I think he has done an unbelievable job keeping them competitive in games with all of the injuries they've had to deal with to significant players this season. Talent-wise, there's no comparison between the two teams we saw last night. But I think there's more parity in the league now than there's ever been. And if you don't work at least close to as hard as the other team, you're going to have a tough time winning in this league. And the Flames got outworked by the Canadiens last night. And I give the Habs a ton of credit because, you know, they had lost 8 in a row. They snapped that streak with an overtime win over the Senators on Saturday. And they're fighting for their playoff lives right now. And they played like it last night.
Yeah, that was full marks to Montreal. That they get everything out of that roster. It's just there's not a lot there right now with the injuries that they've had. And also, Ilya Kovalchuk impressed me quite a bit in that game as well. So, yeah, full marks to Montreal. Offensive. Yeah.
Defensively,
Yeah, I was a little intrigued to see him out there in the final 90 seconds with the Flames and their goalie pulled. Kovalchuk's an interesting choice to have out there. But
yeah, I think just outside the top five in Selke votes this year. But from a Flames perspective, the issue I have is, okay, we knew there was going to be a letdown. You can kind of expect that. They're human beings, fine. But you kind of lose the benefit of the doubt when you have a first half of the season like they did. If they were well and clear like last year, then these types of games are just blips on the radar and it's fine. But when you're in a battle where on any given night you can be first in the division or out of a playoff spot, you tend to not accept these types of performances as just, oh, they were having a bad day. Because there have been, quite frankly, too many bad days for the Flames so far this season. It's just that we saw this one coming. So hopefully it's just a one-off from a Flames perspective, not like the two that they had after the Edmonton game the first time, and they can get back on track. But this kind of thing needs to stop. I would say now would be a good time for that.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed just because it was so telegraphed, you know, and the fact that we were so unsurprised by what happened and the fact that they were so thoroughly outworked, and that was the one thing, like, okay, there may not be a ton of emotion, but just go out there and work. That was the frustrating part, and I think it mainly comes down to the fact that I've not been overly enamored with the way they've been playing over the last little bit, despite the fact they've won. Or they had won 5 in a row coming into last night. Other than the Oilers game that we're still buzzing about, there haven't been a lot of like decisive games. You're like, oh, the Flames were really good. It's like, okay, they got good goaltending. They found a way to win. It was a one-goal game against this team. I just have not been in love with the way they're playing. And then to see them play like that against Montreal, it was a little disappointing. But I guess it comes down to the fact, and Derek, we talked about this, I think, last week. Fact is, the Flames are in the middle. Like, they are one of, I want to say, like 15 to 20 NHL teams right now that are very much in the middle of the pack. And I would suggest that every team from Edmonton to Vancouver to Las Vegas or Vegas, sorry, to, you know, you look at all these teams that are, quote, in the middle right now. I bet you they're having almost identical conversations about inconsistency in their efforts. Unless you're one of the elite teams or unless you're one of the awful teams, you don't know really what to expect on any given night. And right now the Flames are very much in the middle.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they had the longest winning streak in the league prior to last night's loss and have been finding ways to win. They've been the best team in the league in one-goal games this season. All 5 of those wins were by one goal.
Yep.
And I think being able to win those close hockey games is going to be really important for this team down the stretch and into the playoffs, assuming they get there. But you know what? When the trip started, of course you want to win 3 of 3. But I said to myself, if they can get 2 of 3, or if they can get 4 of 6 points on this trip before their 9-day break, I think that would be a success. I was really worried about the game in Montreal, a little bit less worried after the Canadiens snapped their 8-game losing streak in overtime against the Senators on Saturday, but still worried because I knew there was going to be an emotional letdown, and there was. So now you've lost the game that you probably should have won based solely on talent. Go try to win a game that maybe you should lose on paper against the Maple Leafs on Thursday. I think having a complete day off, no practice, the guys could just do what they wanted to today, was probably good, gives them a chance to hit the reset button. They'll return to the ice for practice at Scotiabank Arena tomorrow. 11 o'clock practice to get set for the Maple Leafs and go out there and beat a good team in their building. Now you're 1-1 on the trip, which is probably where you hope to be or thought you'd be after 2 games. And then you get the Senators on Saturday, a team that on paper, again, you're much better than. So find a way to win the next 2 or to at least pick up 3 or 4 points in the next 2. And I think you go into the break feeling pretty good about yourself.
Derek Wills with us in Southern Ontario. That time I'm accurate.
Thanks,
Peter
Pat.
Klein and Pat Steinberg back here at Opa of Greece in Airdrie Crossing. Final topic on our Daily Flames round table, and we both had our nice lunches earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been enamored with Calgary of late. I think I've made that clear. So I was thinking about this today after they struggled offensively again last night. That's the sixth time they've been shut out. You go take a look at the numbers that Austin Zarnik has put up in the American League. And I'm not even saying immediately, but in the next little bit, maybe as far down the road as after this break that's upcoming, is it time to start giving a little bit more consideration to bringing somebody else in to maybe inject a little more into this forward group? So whether it's Zarnik, maybe it's Austin Kwine, I don't know. Zarnik would be at the top of my list, but is it time for the Flames to start considering that a little more?
Maybe, but here's a question for you. How'd you like Zach Rinaldo last night?
I thought he might have been
as noticeable as anybody in a Flames
jersey. He was definitely physical. Would he finish with six hits when it was all said and done?
Yeah. Yeah, at least he had the energy from the drop of the puck in the first period. It's funny because when I talked to Will this morning, he asked me if I liked anybody in a Flames jersey last night, and I had to pause and then pause again before answering, and I was reluctant to say Zach Rinaldo, but he did stand out to me in a positive way in his role. And it's funny, after I eventually spit out his name, he said, it's funny you say that because Corey Sarge said the same thing this morning. It was the first name out of his mouth, which, you know, good for Zach Rinaldo, but it's kind of an indictment on the rest of the team. So, I mean, can Austin Zarnik help the Flames? I think he could potentially be an upgrade offensively in their bottom six. So we'll see. But I still think that Brad Treleving is going to make a deal here. He's got the cap space to do it. He's got the assets to do it. He knows that his team is in a win-now window. I think he really badly wants to add a top-six right-winger. I read an article earlier today saying he might like to add two top-six forwards between now and the trade deadline. So I don't know if Austin Zarnik or Allan Kwine is really going to move the needle significantly for the Flames. Can they be a bit of an upgrade? Potentially. But I think for this team to get to where they want to go, they need to find another right-winger, someone probably to play with Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau. And then you can slide Michael Backlund back to center, and you can stack, as you've talked about, Pat, your four centermen: Elias Lindholm, Sean Monahan, Michael Backlund, Derek Ryan. I love the sounds of having those four guys up the middle of the ice, but to make that work, I think you need another winger, don't you?
Yes, you absolutely do. And we are all in agreement that the Flames should be and probably are looking for a top six winger right now to help fill this roster out. Until then, I don't mind calling up an Austin Zarnik, and yes, Zach Rinaldo was very noticeable last night, but he was noticeable in a game where the Flames offense had little or nothing to do for the first 40 minutes of the game and then made a bit of a push at the end. I wouldn't mind Zarnik just to give this team a little bit more life offensively, and it doesn't even need to be for a Zach Rinaldo. I would still keep him with the club. I think there is a role for him. I don't know if it's an every night role, but I don't know if Sam Bennett has played his way out of the healthy scratch discussion just yet. I would also wouldn't mind someone who gets called up just in the interim who can play center until the stack that we've been talking about, because I don't think Tobias Reeder is the answer as your fourth line center, and I think I've made it pretty clear I don't believe Mark Jankowski is the answer there either. So I wouldn't mind going back with the Matthew Phillips experiment and at least playing him for a game this time. Just again, give some of that youthful exuberance.
He's not an option,
okay.
Liner.
Yeah, right,
he's,
sorry.
He's out long term.
Right, that's right, yeah, that's why he's not being brought up. Okay, but yeah, and Allan Kwine into the discussion or someone along those lines. Like, someone who can play center, because Tobias Reeder is not working as center, and he's been fine in other roles. I just don't like him in that one.
Before Zarnik got hurt, Calgary's second power play unit looked better than it had at any point, and that includes at any point now that we're in mid-January. I still think it looked better than with Zarnik on it for the three or four games it was, and I know that you're probably not going to be putting him in a top six role right now. I get that. You don't need to bring him in and then automatically take Rinaldo out or anything like that. I just wonder if in certain circumstances he might give you a little bit more. So it's not a big thing. It's not something that's going to push him over the top. I'm with you, Derek. They're going to want to have a chance of being what they want to be. They're going to need to make an actual addition that is not in their organization right now, no doubt. But in the meantime, and before the February 24th trade deadline or before they make that deal, if Zarnik were to come in and play a little bit, I think it could give them a little bit of an injection offensively. I do.
Yeah, I don't disagree, Pat. The only other thing to consider is the cap space, right? If you bring him up, you got the room to do it as far as the roster is concerned, but he's going to eat up a little bit of cap space. So if Brad Treleving is working the phones like I think he's working the phones right now, I think you want to have as much cap space as possible to play with. So we'll see what happens. I think Zarnik can help this team. I do. I think he could potentially help the second power play. Although with that said, you could also argue the second power plays look better than the first power play in the last couple of games. So we'll see what they do. But I'm looking forward to Thursday night. I think the Flames will be refocused and ready to go for that game against the Maple Leafs. And should be a fun game at Scotiabank Arena.
Enjoy the rest of your day in Hamilton, Derek. This time I got it 100% accurate. We will talk to you tomorrow, and we'll do another roundtable then. Thank you, pal.
Opa.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. This hockey season, you can view over 70 vehicles in their warm showroom. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport.